You're listening to Comedy Central.
This is so unprofessional. Now hiring. A Walmart worker in Louisiana quit in the store with a profanity-laced tirade over the store's PA system. Beth McGrath, fed up at the old Walmart there in the bayou and got over the intercom and said, quote, "Attention Walmart shoppers and associates, my name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid."
Are you hitting us with a transcript, dog?
"The attendance policy is bullshit. We're treated from management and customers poorly every day. Whenever we have a problem with it, we're told that we're replaceable. I'm tired of the constant gaslighting. This company treats their elderly associates like shit. To Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert. Greta and Kathy, shame on y'all for treating our associates the way you do. I hope you don't speak to your families the way you speak to us. Fuck management and fuck this job. I quit." Mm-hmm. End quote.
You sure she can't be our employee of the week, bro? Because that might be one of the best quits I've ever heard.
That's one of the most unprofessional resignations I've ever heard.
Well, it's Walmart, bro. What's professional at Walmart?
Quitting over the PA system at this point, it's kind of hack. It's time for new original ways to say fuck this job.
What else could she do?
Break shit.
No, she could hurt someone. I hear what you're saying. No. She recorded it.
That's what makes it so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your next employer can find it. Do slick stuff. See, you don't know about the art of slick revenge at a job. I'm going to teach you about some shit. Start the show. You got to better teach Jack. My name is Roy. This is my job fair. Top of the Wednesday to you. JG, how are you doing?
I'm well, Roy Wood Jr. How are you?
I'm good. As we wind down September and we're heading to everybody's least favorite month, October.
How?
October is the Thursday of the year.
Ouch. I like Thursdays.
Do you?
I do.
Fridays are better. Thursday ain't a Friday. It's not a Monday. But it's not really a Friday. All this pumpkin spice shit is out.
That's true.
It's not my favorite month.
What's your favorite
month? Is it hot? Is it cold? What the fuck is it going to be? January, because it's miserable.
January is great. That's the month I was born in.
January.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. When were you born, Ralph?
January 4th.
Okay.
See, January is perfect because...
Wait a minute, you just said it was miserable. Make up your mind.
It's perfect. It's perfect misery because you're coming off the high of the holidays and the intimidation of the year to come as you reflect on all the goals that you failed to achieve the year before, and you sit there with your stupid fucking notepad and your vision board and figuring out...
You start that.
What you gonna
that
do?
New gym membership.
Yes.
I know how you do. Start that new gym membership that you stop in February.
January
is what you're supposed to do.
Is the month to reset a new version of yourself that you've still failed to become. And October is when you finally hit that realization that you're out of time to hit those New Year's resolutions. JG, how are you doing this week?
I'm well. How are you?
Third, have you ever quit a job so eloquently as our friend Beth in Louisiana did over the loudspeaker?
That is a good question. Never eloquently. Never like that.
I know it was done in an effort to expose Walmart's practices and how management treats the subordinates. I understand that. But you put your name on it. You didn't have to put your name on it. You didn't have to put your face on it.
I have.
That's the folly of being young, man. That's all, you know.
We live in a country that does not forgive mistakes easily.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are competing for jobs, this is the goofy shit that comes up in after that second interview when they really dig on your ass. Mm-hmm. This is the stupid shit that'll come up 4 years from now, and it'll be the reason Beth didn't get a job. And all she had to do was crop her face.
You know she's going to change her name, correct? She's going to change her name. She can't really get past this. But then people like me, she might run into. And I'm like, I know that voice. Wait a minute.
And then I... And that's how quick Jacqueline finds shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was hella fast. That was okay. Damn.
I
ain't messing with you.
I have never, I'm trying to think as far as resignations go. Not like that. Mm-mm. I don't think I've ever, I've no called, no showed, you know, as I call really? It, original recipe. Oh, yeah.
Definitely done that. In fact, I quit a telemarketing job by not showing up for a week. And they call me like every day. Are you coming in? No, I'm not feeling good. You coming in? Nah, my mama here. You coming in? Nah, man. I got to pick up my sister. You coming in? Nah, man. I ain't going to make it, man. You sure, bro? Friday they call. You coming in? Said, nah. I said, hey, man, we got to let you go. I said, that's cool. I dig it.
There's certain jobs that you should never feel bad about quitting on your terms. You know, at the end of the day, your mental well-being should take precedent. So God bless Beth for deciding that she didn't want to deal with that shit anymore. Because you are disposable, and they remind you of that every day, especially if you're in a will-to-work state. Telemarketing jobs are different in a sense where you're just kind of welcome to come. Because there's an infinite amount of call banks. Mm-hmm. So you can just go. I was a telemarketer, Ralph, for about 2 weeks for the Alabama State Troopers Benevolent Fund. And hello, ma'am. My name is Roy, and I'm calling from the Alabama State Troopers Benevolent Fund, and we collect money to give to the spouses of fallen law enforcement officers here in the state of Alabama. Would you like to be a gold spot? Hello?
Hey, man. I was selling cell phones in Atlanta on telemarketing, so I fully understand. And I chose not to memorize our speech. I just wing it most of the time.
How do you sell cell phones to people who don't have a phone? What do you call them?
House.
Yeah, man.
Hey, motherfucker, ain't you tired of this house phone?
Damn. Don't you want to go outside? Don't you want to go outside, dog? You got a nice car, don't you, home? You got a nice-ass car? Hey, look, bro, you need to get up on this cell phone for real, Charlie. We got you for real, man. You don't need that house phone no more, man. It's cool, man. You can sit outside the rib shack and call people. It'll work out. Most of the time, they didn't hang up. I didn't sell a lot of phones.
I have a flip side to that. When Obama ran the first time, you know how you were that person calling to say, can we count on your vote or whatever? I worked at one of those particular banks, and we had to call Florida every night. But when you call Florida, certain parts of Florida, the question to me and many of the other people too is, well, do you talk dirty? Wait a minute. What do you mean? Do I talk dirty?
It was
terrible.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
Do you think they were trolling you, though?
Yeah. Absolutely, because it popped up. I can't remember what it said, but it was basically saying that we're calling to learn about your voting or whatever. It was just awful, and people were just so rude and mean.
I also had a job where I thought it was family, and I showed up to work one day, and the fucking doors were locked, and they didn't even tell us that they were going out of business. That's family? Shout out to Protect America Home Security Systems, and I hope your fucking company is still underwater. I hope that ADT is fucking Brinks Home Security of taking you off the sticks. Down South Georgia, girl, see if you can pull up some shit on Protect America Home Security. See if they're still
Roy's out here wishing. Roy's out here wishing Ren eating their lunch right now. He's just all things protection bad.
Fuck him, bro. I show up to that bitch one day. The door is locked. The sign is off the door. It's like one of them office plazas where you go up to the fourth floor and you see the little placard on it. That shit is gone. It's like a clean spot on the wall where the placard used to be. They just left. No last check, nothing.
You come in the next morning all happy, holding donuts, and ain't nothing.
Bro, 5 years later, I'm in line at the movies, and I see my fucking supervisor from Protect America. And he gonna come to me. Man, that shit was crazy, wasn't it? Bitch, where was you?
Where were you at? What do you mean it was crazy? Yeah, it was crazy.
And I'm like, you could have just called and just said, hey, man, don't drive. This is 25 fucking minutes. And so when people quit in wild ass fashions, I honestly, you know, I'm joking. I don't think Beth should have put a picture in that video. I don't think she should have put her name on it.
She's young.
When you quit in some wild grand fashion,
there it is, JG.
I get it, dog. Mm-hmm. I fucking
look, JG,
get
but
it.
JG hit the nail on the head. Tell him again. She's young.
She doesn't know any better.
She's young.
And no one right. is in her life to help her understand that's not the way to go out. At Wendy's, I felt the same way. I was 16, 17, and I left there in tears because they were so mean to me. And I went to my mom's job at Walmart, and I told her what happened. And that was that.
The only thing I'm going to say, there's a slight difference between when you quit in a job and ending a career.
Mm.
Like, there's a difference, you know what I'm saying? Because you got the job, you can quit a job and move from job to job. That ain't no damn thing. But like when you are doing something that you feel is your career and that ends, there's a different level of, you know what I'm saying? Because to me, in the career game is where they talk about that, oh, we're family. We're going to look out for you. You know, something go down, da 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 da. And then the second something go down, it's like, hello?
Gone.
They hey.
Dip on your ass, shoe in there like Fresh Prince in that empty ass fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
Crying, hey, talking man. About how come he don't want me.
Oh, that was such a sad episode.
Yeah, that's what the fuck I look like in that hall at Protect America. Fuck him.
That was so sad. He was trying to be so strong, and then at the end, he just broke down. Oh, so sad. I was crying, too.
Oh, see, look, there man. You go. Protect America. Thank you, Down South Georgia girl. Protect America was acquired by Brinks Home Security. Good. You got bought out by somebody better than you. You fucking fucks. That's a whole separate conversation. It's time now, real quick. Cody's most outstanding employee of the week. Keeping with the tune of resignations, went dipping in the old email box. I got to give a shout out. I cannot remember the gentleman's name. This is going to sound weird. Don't judge. I cannot remember the name of the man I met at the hotel in Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
Can't even help you with that one, huh?
He's a listener of the show. He's a big fan. Only saying that because we got an email from somebody up that way from Bellevue. Jeff Bechtold. I know I butchered your last name.
Jeff Bechtold. Yeah, okay. Bechtold. I got you.
JG, I don't know how much you peruse the RoyceJobFair@gmail.com inbox, but Jeff's got a good one for us if we're talking resignations.
What happened?
Says Jeff, hi all. Sort of new to the job fair. Caught the last couple episodes on SiriusXM. Thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a white dude who grew up in a town in suburban Kansas at 13 years old. I got a job as a caddy at a golf club close to my house. It wasn't a particular bad job. I liked it initially. But after a while, I got this one particular guy that kept asking for me. He had a massive heavy bag with all kinds of extra shit. Balls, shoes, a box of cigars, too many clubs, etc. He was a prick, and I was too young to say anything about it.
Hmm.
One day, he goes out with three other golfers and has me for his caddy. It starts raining, and my guy and the other golfers all hop in a golf cart and leave me and the other caddy standing in the rain.
Oh, no.
With their clubs. So I'm standing there in the rain with this huge golf bag, and I thought to myself, my house is a hell of a lot closer than the clubhouse.
Mm.
I put his golf clubs in the bushes and walked home.
Mm. He deserved that. He deserved it.
I support it.
Nicely done, Jeff.
Yes.
Nicely done. And for that, you are
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Worst and first, where we invite you to Job Fair listener to share with us either your story from your worst job or your first job, roysjobfair@gmail.com. Thank you so much for the people who've been emailing. We really do appreciate it, and we read them. We haven't had a chance. I got to give a quick shout out since we're talking about the email. My man, Jay Petey. Sent us a picture of some used drawers for sale at a thrift shop.
Son.
Are you serious?
Yo. Oh, dead ass.
Oh, yeah.
Dead ass.
A rack full of used drawers for sale at a thrift shop. There you go, JG. I just dropped that in your phone.
See, that's why I don't go in that email like that. Oh, my gosh. JP.
Yeah.
I mean, all the really bad stuff stopped weeks ago. You're good. I mean, I'm for research purposes. Yeah. It was, you know.
Yeah. Rightfully used draws, men's JP! Draws for sale at a thrift
this
store.
This is nasty.
Yeah. It's for sale.
Yeah.
Why is
people
that?
People trying to make a living.
Like, that's not even
people
a sex shop. That's like just if you want some secondhand draws, here's a rack of secondhand draws.
People are taking these, and then someone is going home and putting them on their bare skin.
On their balls.
Right on their balls. Balls.
On the balls.
FYI, super for clear. People who don't know, when you buy underwear, you're supposed to wash them before you, before you wear them. Why are y'all all looking?
Because we're men. We buy underwear in like air sealed, vacuum, cellophane. Y'all the ones buying draws off of
Access
a hanger.
12. Yeah, y'all the ones out there getting
Victoria's
the single draws. Right. La Perla. All
you,
on one
you
doggone
wash
thing.
Wash them before you wear them. Stop shaking your head. Yes, Kenny.
No. 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 Introduce our guests so we can set you straight to three men against one. Who is this on
we
the phone,
JT? We have a nice man who plans to continue to be a nice man named Kenny. And he's going to talk to us about a terrible part-time job that he had at an arena stage playhouse in D.C.
Nice try trying to change the subject, JG. Kenny, keep it real. Don't you put them draws on straight off the bag. Straight out the bag. That's how a man put on the draws.
Straight out the bag.
Tell him. You still had a little piece of tape on it on your thigh? You know what I'm saying? Because they roll them up and you still got that little piece of tape on your thigh sometimes.
Yes, and Kenny. Someone may have picked out a pack before you grab it, just to check the size of it in the store. And then you'd be like, fuck it. You go ahead, this is my size and roll.
Yes.
You reach out to make sure that it says the same amount that it's supposed to have. Bounce.
Ralph, you're married. I would hope better for you.
I'm married, so the
me
last
too.
Thing my
oh
wife
my
will
God.
Ever find me wrong.
I'm married too.
So let me let you know. There's a higher chance of me going out and getting all of the female things that she needs, which I do without shame.
Yeah, you should do that.
Than ever her going out and buying draws, also missing said shame. Not happening. Like, no.
You know where we should go, JG? You and I should go on a field trip. The next time you're back in Alabama and I'm there at the same time, we should travel up to Scottsboro, Alabama to the Lost Baggage store.
Ooh.
You don't know, Lost Baggage is a store that buys all of the unclaimed baggage in America from various airports, and they crack open this luggage, and it's like a big thrift store, but it's all stuff from people's luggage. They sell underwear.
That's all draws. That's a whole lot of draws.
Exactly.
That's travel draws. Normally, your travel draws is clean. You don't travel
you don't
with
travel
nasty draws.
They're already clean, packed
but
up.
But what if you're getting somebody on the return trip and they lost their luggage and you got funk draws?
That is fair. That is fair. That is fair.
Right.
I'm sorry, Kenny. We get a kick out of discussing just making Jacqueline squirm. Tell us a little bit about the job. First off, where are you hitting this from, brother?
I'm calling from out here in D.C. Right.
Respect.
Here.
Respect.
D.C. Capital.
202. So,
what?
Yep. So
lay it on us, man. You said theater? This was a theater job?
Okay. So this is like early in the 2000s, right? Okay. So I'm fresh out of college and everything. So I'm just, looking for, I had a job, but I wanted a spare job, just to give some more extra money, So I'm coming across, and like I said, this is the early 2000s. So wasn't everybody just on Google, you go get your, go to the websites to search for jobs and search engines like that. No, this was pick up the newspaper, flip through it. This is the weekend section. My first thing was, let me see if I can pick up some, some camera gigs somewhere, anything like that. See if I got positions like that. Even if it's small time, just run camera operating or anything like that. Or even anything in theater. And lo and behold, the Washington, D.C. Arena stage plays, which is a real prominent stage play in the country and stuff like that. Everybody's, a lot of famous Broadway actors have come through there. But I saw they were hiring part-time. And it was right in the time of, okay, I can go do this and still run the streets a little later on in the evening because it wasn't too late. So I go downtown, And they tell me, shuffle us in. There was some other people there already. And we were already at some tables. So we just fill out our application and stuff. So he was like, okay, thank you guys for coming in. Come on back tomorrow. I was like, okay, that was the easiest interview I've ever had in my life. And I'm good with it. So come back the next day. I'm like, okay. I guess who the guy who's running it, the manager or whoever you want to call it, he comes in. He gives a background on how to use the phones. I'm thinking I'm going to do like, okay, maybe they just need hiring somebody for tickets and stuff like that, and an usher or something. Me not thinking, because like, again, at the time, I'm single. I'm putting a little bit of something up in the air before I walk up in there. So I'm already nice. So I went up in there. So I wasn't paying attention. My eyes were fogged. Let's just put it like that. You know what I mean?
I hear you, Mo. I hear you, Mo.
So he started talking again, how to talk on the phone, this, that, and the other. I'm like, I know how to talk on the phone. Okay. And he's telling us, okay, we'll be making the calls around dinner time, 7 o'clock, when we're making the calls. I'm like, making calls? I'm like, hold on. He still didn't register me just yet. So
I'm still not there, but go ahead.
Exactly. So he's telling me, you know, taking the calls and how to talk to people. Sometimes you may get someone who really doesn't want to talk at this time, because at that time, this is dinner time. And again, this is before everybody had a cell phone, so a lot of people still had house phones, and you're calling people to sell packages for the arena stage play. So you're basically, you're a telemarketer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was like, no.
Soldier's dream.
So off the top. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing any telemarketing. And I mean, he's giving a speech on how to talk, you know, when you catch somebody right at the right time, you know, it's dinner time. They may not want you to sell, but you still pretty much salesman, still stick your foot in the door to stop them from closing you out.
The other new hires, are they also discovering this? Are they also kind of putting this together too? Like, wait a minute, Twilight Zone.
If I remember right, I caught a sister. You know how we catch each other's eye across the room? Black folks have the way of talking without talking. Mm-hmm. And you look and you go, are they? She just shook her head. She's like, I knew she wasn't going to be with it. So when he's almost through, I'm like, I was dedicated. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not doing this, and I'm not losing my buzz. So, he was like, does everybody have it? So we're all good. I said, excuse me, where's your restroom located?
Oh.
Oh, no.
So he told me.
You pulled the restroom?
I pulled the restroom.
That man was not owed a formal resignation.
I said.
He ran game, so he got game ran.
Right. I got up, walked straight for the front door, kept on going. I wasn't there no more than maybe a half an hour to like 45 minutes.
Record resignation. Record resignation.
Haven't been back down. Not only have I not called them, I haven't even been on that side of town anymore. That's how far.
Young, stop playing. He was like, no war.
No, none of that.
Young, yeah, I'm good.
Just take the wrong way home.
Well, I'm glad you got one phone number out the deal. Sound like the long way to go to end up on a date with somebody.
Oh, did you go on the date?
No. Didn't even happen.
I thought he was going to say, and that's how I met my wife.
Yeah. No. That's how I met my wife. No.
Kenny, man, thank you so much for coming on the Job Fair and sharing that with us, brother.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
All right.
After the break, we've got to explore the world of employment in Montana and see what's going on some of these Indian reservations and see how you can be a part of helping stop the spread of COVID amongst our indigenous brothers and sisters. Job Fair, we'll be back. Job Fair, we back in this thing. Now, there's been, you know, COVID numbers have been affecting minorities disproportionately, but I think one of the best kept secrets is, well, worst kept secrets, it's what's happening in Montana. And on not just Montana, but a lot of our different indigenous reservations around the country. Montana, did I tell you about the time I got a death threat in Montana from somebody in Montana? Man, per capita, Montana, hands down, the most polite death threats I've ever received. Let's see who's hiring. JG, who do we have on the phone?
We have Thomas, and he's going to dispel some of that, I hope. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Thomas, let's jump into a little bit of the meat here. I'd spoken with Ralph a little bit just about, you know, what you all are doing, you know, in terms of, you know, you're standing up for Native and Indigenous people with regards to COVID-19 and the way COVID is really taking over a lot of communities, you know, in our country, but especially, you know, our Indigenous brothers and sisters. Tell us a little bit about the All Nations Healthcare Center and exactly what positions you all are hiring for.
Yeah, absolutely. So All Nations Health Center, that's located in Missoula, Montana. And yeah, unfortunately, the Native population in the United States suffers from, you know, chronic disease, mental illness, and, you know, you name it, odds are it's probably, the numbers aren't good for Natives. Mm-hmm. And so you throw in something like a COVID-19 pandemic, and it can kind of escalate those already existing issues. The All Nations Health Center, we stepped up to the plate. It was kind of an all hands on deck issue, especially when infection rates were going up. We were pretty responsive then. We were able to dish out some support kits, and included in those is like some traditional medicine. We'll hook you up with some a Visa gift card so you can get your groceries delivered and whatnot, so you can properly isolate.
How hard, because I, unless the both of you have seen something in the news, I have not. How deeply impacted by COVID-19, what was the Native population?
Yeah, so the Indigenous population in the United States specifically, we've been disproportionately affected by it. I remember reading some stuff about Montana and specifically the reservations and the surrounding areas. You know, at one point we made up 1/3 of the cases or 1/3 of the deaths, and we make up 10% of the state's population.
Why do you think that this is so overlooked by our media?
You know, there's that old adage that you usually hear from the side that won. You don't hear from second place or whatever. And not that we were totally defeated, because I truly believe that me existing here is a form of, you know, resistance or something of the like. But we're just not heard.
I feel like y'all did better than the South, personally, for starters. And then secondly, just because it's kind of been in the news, when you talk about the Native population and the stuff that they go through, I'll say it, Joy Reid had this whole thing today on Twitter where she was talking about missing white girl syndrome and about how everybody was tripping about looking for this missing white girl out there in the same area where 700 plus Native girls have gone missing in the last, what, 3 or 4 years. But we out here looking for this little white girl who has already had a bad attitude and all this other stuff. So there's a lot to it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, there's actually an entire movement that exists right now. It's commonly referred to as the MMIW or MMIP movement. It stands for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women or Peoples. And yeah, they're really targeted after, and there's reasons behind that, and a lot of it has to do with colonialism, genocide, and this idea to kind of get rid of the Indian.
Thomas and I had the honor and the joy of booking him, one of the things that we both kind of recognized is that when, you know, you sit down with some Black folks, you sit down with some Indian folks, and you start to talking, you realize that the Indian folks is way angrier than the Black people. And they have mad reason for it. Like, it's the truth. Yes. They have mad reason for it. And it was a real conversation that we had, because we both have had experience I told him a story where I was working for a media organization, and there was a Hispanic brother, myself, and a brother from the Native Americans Association, and we both were just totally ripping on, you know, white folks hold us down in the newsroom, they don't let us do this, that white folks don't let us do that, come Spanish, the white folks don't let us do because we're Black. And my guy, I could say his name, Mark Anthony Rolo, looked at both of us and said, yeah, but they're still in your backyard. You know what I'm saying? He said, they're still in my backyard. So y'all can complain all y'all want to, they're still in my backyard. And it just brought up so much stuff to me. So
I was just going to say, sidebar, Thomas, federal administrations that are democratically driven usually have more outreach, more social. Do you have any federal connections? Because obviously there's a lot going on here where some federal help might avail.
We're kind of on the same level as the feds. We kind of there's the states down here. Mm-hmm. I got my hand down here, and then we got the feds, and then we got the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And we kind of report directly to
but are they being helpful? You don't have to call them out.
I'd say it's getting better. You know, we're starting to hear more stories, or, you know, there's indigenous artists out there, or it's kind of being cool to be Native again. Believe it or not, my folks in the late 70s or 80s, it was actually considered illegal to practice our traditional ways or speak your language.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, that took its toll on that generation, but it's that trend is reversing.
Where can people go if they want to be a part of everything that you all are doing? And even if they don't live in Montana, I'm sure that there are other Native and Indigenous communities closer to where they are, where they can probably do a little sniffing and snooping and see if they're needed over there as well. Where can people find you all?
But to put it nicely, it's like genocide. Or
why do you have to be nice about it? It's not a nice thing.
I'll tell you why. You really don't have to do
I'll
that.
I'll tell you why. Because I've seen what this negative attitude can kind of do, and people end up spiraling, you know, and it kind of builds this bad circle. My mother, I learned this from her, and she was featured in an article recently, and the title that the journalist gave that piece was called Lead with Love. And that was such a an eye-opening thing for me, because it's very true. I see that within a lot of my bloodline, and that I know what that does if we create this or continue this hate. But if we try to understand and just try to reverse some of those trends, I'd be curious to see what happens. You know, we may not see it in my lifetime, but I gotta try, man, because I don't want to be an angry person.
Indeed, man. Well, what are the positions that you all are hiring for, and how can people reach you to apply for those positions?
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys can hit us up on the web. You can hit up www.allnations.health/careers. And right now we have 3 positions open, and we update that periodically.
Yeah, down South Georgia girl got it to me. Thank you for that, Rhonda. Dual license clinician, emergency preparedness assistant, and director of operations. All right. Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you, Thomas.
Thank you for listening too, Thomas. Thank you for being a listener, homie. I appreciate that, man. We both appreciate it. We all appreciate it, man. Real talk.
100%. This is an honor, guys. I told Ralph, I'm a fan of the show. I'll continue to be so. And yeah, you guys rock.
That's cool, man. All right. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Nice. Have a good one.
Thank you.
After the break, we're going to jump into it with the homie Norado, a.k.a. Rob for short. JG, did you see this lady that got her ass whooped at her job interview?
No.
There's a video that you are not ready for. And we finally, we're going to talk about this goddamn bootleg, ignorant-ass high school that's not really a high school. Scam of the week. It might be scam of the year. Job fair. We'll be right back. Job fair, we back in this thing. Now, we got to get right into it today. We don't have time for a lot of preamble chit-chat about the previous guests like we normally do, because The homie Nerado, a.k.a. Rod for short, has found a video that I think Jacqueline might be funnier than the girlfriend fight. If you're new to the pod and don't know about the girlfriend fight, I encourage you after this episode, go back and find the episode titled Black Air Force Ones. Hilarious story. This girl called her boyfriend up to her job to fight her coworker, and the coworker dishragged the boyfriend. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about a new work fight video. He comes to us from parts unknown to help you break the ice with coworkers of the opposite race, giving you stories that you can bring up around the water cooler to make your day a little smoother. If you're in a long hours in a delivery truck with somebody you can't stand, here's a couple things y'all can chit-chat about. Rod, what's going on with your brother? How you doing?
What's happening, man? What's going down? How y'all feeling?
Sidebar, we got to be better about promoting your road dates, man. You know, and just letting us know where you at in these streets. Because I saw where you had hollered at the homie Terry in Macon, Georgia a while back. And
yeah,
I was down there in the panhandle.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Let's jump right in, Rod.
Kicking things right off, white people, what a lot of black people are talking about, and probably what a lot of white people are talking about, is the wildest job interview in employment history. So picture this. You go in for a job interview, and you know, you're answering the normal questions and signing the normal paperwork, and then all of a sudden you're getting the shit beat out of you by a family member. What happened was a woman was doing a job interview, and then her sister showed up and started stomping a whole mud hole in her ass because she found out that her sister had slept with her husband. So she crept up on her while she was trying to get a job and beat the whole fuck out of her.
Layers. Where do we begin?
What?
The previous night, her sister had, I guess, checked her husband's text messages and found that her employment-seeking sister had been sucking and fucking with her husband, and she could not wait until she came home to beat her ass.
All right, third, let's take it layer by layer. First question. If you've made the decision to fight your sibling, is it dirty pool to fight them in this job economy at the job interview? Could this ass whooping have waited until she got home?
First thing I'd like to say before I answer this question is, if my sister is listed, this has nothing to do with you, okay? We just got cool. All right, look, yeah, you can beat her ass at the job, all right? Look, I'm just saying, you can't, that's a line step. That is a line step. You can't go sleeping with the hubby or the wife. You can't do that's a line step.
We're not talking about who you whether or not you should have fucked your sister's man.
No.
Answer the question, third. When do you deliver the ass whooping?
I would say as soon as you find out, and if it just happens to be there, it just happens to be there.
You can't go out personally. Like Beth. See, now you're acting like Beth from Louisiana.
See, that's the difference between me and Beth. Beth is young. I am old. So at this point, it is deliberate, all right? Like, I'm not really trying to have a lot of guesswork. That's not what I do. That I don't have to be smooth anymore. I'm grown. So I'm beating the ass as soon as I find out.
Rod, I pose that question to you. Can an ass whooping of this magnitude wait until after the job interview has concluded?
No, it cannot. Ultimate betrayal is something that sends you into such a rage that it must be handled right then and there. That's the reason people fight at funerals and things like that. There's some things you do that you ain't really got time to wait on whooping some ass, nor are you going to be close to the mind frame to think, when I see this motherfucker in 9 hours, it's going down. Nah.
Facts.
Be her motherfucking ass. Plus, that's an extra oomph on it. That lets her know how serious you are about this shit, is that I showed up to your damn job interview to beat the fuck out of you.
Hey, Rod, back me up here. After she whooped her ass, did she or did she not leave her with the, and don't you ever talk to me again, while she was still on the ground?
Straight up. I mean, yeah, I got a reference for your motherfucking ass.
Right. The interviewee lady tried to step in and stop the ass whipping, and she looked at her and was like, this is my sister. She slept with my husband. I'm going to beat her ass. And then you see Shorty kind of stand like, oh, man, that family shit.
Yeah, that was the first thing she said. She was like, she broke my heart. And everybody was like, oh, I get it.
Right. Nah, go ahead. Whoop her ass. She don't work here yet. She ain't got benefits. Jacqueline, go ahead. Get it in.
What?
You are the HR arm of this show.
Yes.
Second question is to you.
Yeah.
Do you still hire someone who got their ass whooped?
No. You know the answer to that. No. Because.
Why?
I don't want that in our office.
She is the victim.
I don't care.
You better say you don't want losing in your office? Is that what you're saying?
So you don't hire her, but you hire the sister who did the ass.
You hired a sister that whooped the ass.
That's the tenacity we're looking for.
I need winners in our office.
No, we don't want any of that in our office. And if I'm HR, I'm not going to step in to help you just because you're getting kicked in the head. No, I'm not.
But Jacqueline.
I hear you.
And you're going to let one little funky ass monkey stomping stop you from having a productive office space.
Yes, I am. Because that is not over between those two.
Well, systems. I would like to add as a note, though, that both these women were wearing like sweatpants and t-shirts. She wasn't interviewing to be a lawyer or some shit. She was just there to clean the toilets in that office. Factor into whether the, like, who cares if somebody who's the janitor has fights with their family members?
Ooh.
She doesn't have to come to any meetings or some shit and talk to clients.
I'm about to say, JG, also think about the fact, you know, where's your heart, JG? Where's your heart? Like, you know, you just saw this young lady who's already struggling. She showed up to your interview with sweats on, and then she just got her ass beat. You're not going to hire her. You ain't gonna even give her a chance, JG?
No, not at all. You dirty all have game. Seen this. This is
dirty game.
This is awful.
That's cold, bruh.
Now, that's dirty the dirty game. Fool right there. Yeah. This woman needs that check so she can move out of her sister's house and get her own place. You got an opportunity to help her do that. And you're like, nah, you're a little too ratchet.
She needs to stop.
She's using Elaine.
With her sister's
She's
husband.
Using Elaine's day pay. She's using a day pay program, Jacqueline. She's getting paid
Stop
every day that she works.
Stop sleeping with your sister's
and you,
Stop with that. Stop with
that's
the moral.
That's a little judgmental.
We are focusing strictly on the employment elements of this. Is she still employable? You say no, I disagree. Rod, flip the script for him real quick.
Black people, you get to talk to white people right now about two of their favorite things.
What?
That is robots and dogs. Hmm. Roy's Job Fair is a show all about employment, and one of the biggest things we have on the show is pivoting during tough times. So the good folks at Boston Dynamics dropped these robo dogs.
Yeah.
And they're cool as shit. And the New York Police Department was employing one of the dogs to fuck around, and they were kind of treated like hey, look, this is kind of cool and happy. But, you know, people were like, yeah, you're going to probably use that for surveillance and shit and civil rights violations. We don't like that. So the New York Police Department terminated the dog's $94,000 contract after a couple of months. But I'm happy to report that dog is no longer unemployed. He is now in South Korea working as a safety inspector at a Kia plant.
I'm still thinking about that lady getting whooped because, like,
well, tell us what you do, Roy. You do employment.
What if she had the robot
dog? People. What would
what
you
if she
do?
Had the robot
you
dog,
were hiring
Roy?
Some. You were doing an interview with somebody in person for some job, working with you in some capacity, and then their sister busted in and beat the fuck out of, or dude whose brother burst in. Just any under any circumstances, what would you do if in the middle of a job interview you were giving somebody, someone busted in there and beat the whole fuck out of them?
I'm not gonna break up the fight, number one. I don't break up fights between strangers. That goes back to our conversation about
the doorman.
The doorman and from many episodes ago. I don't break up fights between strangers. When the fight has concluded, I would then ask the interviewee, would you like to reschedule?
Oh, please. Stop.
At minimum, they deserve a second interview, Jacqueline.
There's no need for a second interview. Does that make you want to hire them more, or does that make them want to hire them less?
Because this ain't going to be the last fight.
Oh, no.
This ain't going to be the last fight. There will be multiple rematches. And it's over dick. Like, if it was over money, like, money fights are usually one and done. Because the ass whooping is in lieu of you paying me back. But we don't know if she's going to keep fucking her husband. That's the other thing. maybe that's the question you ask when she on the ground picking up her bloody lip. And you're like, listen, is you gonna keep fucking them? Because that might be the tiebreaker. There we go. That's see, it. I should be the HR on the this show. Right, I'm far more loving than you.
No.
Here's a better question.
Okay.
Rod, if you just got your ass whooped in front of all of your potential coworkers, do you even want the job?
Nah, I pick my application up off the desk and wipe the blood off my mouth with it as I'm headed out of the door and completely take my name out of the race like a candidate dropping out. I'm not coming to work already that bitch ass nigga that gets his ass whooped, dude. Hey, are you out of your fucking mind? I wouldn't do a work from home job with that reputation.
You go viral. Right. You go viral before you even watch the first video and shit. You just walk it in.
Ain't
like,
no fucking you way. I'm gonna get my ass beat at a job interview and then come back in there. Like, no way. No fucking way.
The podcast is Uncle Rod Story Corner. You can download it wherever you get this fine acoustical radio presentation. Rod, you got to keep us abreast of these road dates in October. Do you like October as a month?
That's kind of a weird question. What does that mean? I didn't know you could feel a certain way about a month.
You don't have a favorite month?
No. Like, if I don't like the month, what the fuck can I do about it? The fuck is there? Why have an opinion on some shit like the Gregorian calendar is set, my nigga. Like, it's done.
I swear.
What am I gonna do about it?
How did he make all three of us feel bad? Rod the number four.
Favorite month might as well be only.
Rod the number four short. Rod for short on all social media. Rod, as always, we'll catch you next week, brother.
Bye, Rod.
Bless up.
Scam of the week time. Rod, you might want to hang around for this one. I know. I think it's time that we dig into this one.
There's a job.
Are you familiar, JG, with Bishop Sycamore High School?
I'm not.
So, a little earlier in the month of September, you know, ESPN airs these big razzle-dazzle high school football games where you want to see the hottest new recruits and the best seniors, and you show them on Friday night prime time, and you run packages about the team and the players and their struggles and everything they've overcome and all of that shit.
I'm on the private schools, but go ahead, I'm with you.
So, IMG Academy, which is essentially like a powerhouse, think of them as the University of Alabama, but for high school football.
Okay.
Always whoop ass, always got the best players. They took on a school by the name of Bishop Sycamore.
Okay.
They play the game. The game is played. Bishop Sycamore loses. No big deal.
Hold up. Man, tell that right. Bishop Sycamore gets stomped
58
by IMG.
58 to zero.
Okay, there we
58
go.
58 to zero.
Like that lady at the job interview.
Stomp.
Bishop Sycamore gets job interviewed by IMG.
Okay.
Then it led many to question whether or not Bishop Sycamore was a legitimate school. They got beat so bad, people said, this cannot be a real institution. And people did some investigating and come to find out the team does not have a physical school building.
Their home school?
Worse.
Come to find out, a lot of the students are 19 and 20 years old. Come to find out, most of the students don't even fucking live in the state of Ohio, where the school was supposedly registered as a religious institution, and that's how they were able to circumvent all of the paperwork that would verify that they was a real motherfucking school.
Ooh. Oh.
They do not offer curriculum. Not only are they not a school, they're a broke fake high school. Essentially what you had, Jacqueline, of the breadcrumbs we've laid out so far. And it's important we lay all of this out so you can understand the beauty of this scam. You have a group of coaches who've assembled a group of players who basically pretended to be a high school and then signed up to play other high schools in an effort for those players to be seen and get national TV exposure.
But Roy, can I help? Wait a minute. JG, add this to it. The schools that they played weren't just your typical, like, you know, local Ohio high schools. No, they played big schools. Like, we're talking Dematha in D.C. We're talking about the school that Snoop's kid went to out in Vegas, which was an amazingly big, like, they had monster schools that they were lined up against. And Roy, I feel like I'm forgetting something about their coach.
Their coach had an active arrest warrant out.
That part. There we go.
For fraud. At the time of the game. Also,
while the game was on ESPN.
I would like to add that the students weren't just 19 and 20 years old, but not at a real high school. Some of them were in their early and mid 20s and were junior college dropouts.
Oh, junior college dropouts, JUCO washout.
And still
I'm talking
lost.
Like 25 year olds.
And got peppered up.
But were they in shape?
Well, that's the thing. Like, okay, it's bad enough. It's bad enough that they lost 58-0, right? Because the score in itself is bad. But Jacqueline, it wasn't the score that made people start looking at them. It was how bad they were getting smashed off during the game. Like, I'm pretty sure there was like a couple offensive linemen that, I don't know, somewhere around halftime, came back on the bench and was smoking Newports. Like, man, this is fucked up. Coach need to do something.
Jacqueline.
And nobody was still doing anything.
Oh.
Jacqueline, this was their second game in 3 days. No football team at any level should play two games in 3 days. Players, these old-ass players were blowing out their knees and their shoulders.
So at one point, also, there was an injury, and the announcers were like, that is number 38 down on the field, and we're looking at our papers. We don't have a number 38 on our rosters that they gave to us, so we don't know who that is.
So they didn't even have a playing roster?
Nah. Everything. Like, even weren't the commentators talking shit about them during the game? Like,
yeah, because they looked that bad. And that
they were like, if you know you're going to play on national TV, you're supposed to get these guys ready.
They were staring jerseys.
Excuse me?
According to South Georgia Girl Research, quote, some players had to share helmets during the game, while ESPN commentators voiced concern for their safety for doing this. The Ohio High School Athletic Association later said that the school's physical location, practice facilities, and roster eligibility could not be verified. One of Bishop Sycamore's listed addresses turned out to be a college library.
Damn, son.
I have way too many questions, but I'm going to pare it down to two. Mm. One, doesn't money change hands on games like this that you're airing on ESPN?
That's the scam. The teams are paid an appearance fee to play in this prominent game. Now, who does that money go to?
Yes.
The people who run the school.
Yeah, the fake school.
So did ESPN give them a check? Did they route the money to? How did they get the money?
I don't know if that was.
I don't know how they got it, but they got
That's a good question. Yeah.
Bishop Sycamore's founder.
Enough to get helmets.
30 helmets, but they needed 50.
Right.
Bishop Sycamore's founder, Andre Peterson, has denied running the scam. Quote, if it's a scam and the kids are not going to school and not doing what they're supposed to do, then I'm literally scamming myself. And most importantly, I'm hurting my own son. Now, let me reread that in black man. And you tell me, how much sense this statement makes if I read it as in black man. If it's a scam and the kids not going to school and not doing what they're supposed to do, then I'm literally scamming myself. Most importantly, I'm hurting my own son.
You know what's missing from it when you read it like that? The only thing missing when you read it like that is never lost. Like, read it in that voice again. They put never lost at the end of it.
I'm hurting my own son. Never lost. Give me a cigarette.
Where's my cool?
Yeah, it's that story. Like, it gets wilder every day. Like, after all this news broke, they fired the coach.
Who fired the coach? Because it's not
because there's a okay. So the there's man, apparently the there's like an athletic director slash guy who runs the school.
The guy who runs the scam.
School.
But there's somebody has to run the scam. The person that's the front man as the head of the school. Keep going, Rod.
The guy who fired the coach.
And then they hired a new coach. And then the guy who runs the quote unquote school said that he doesn't know how they. Why people keep calling it a high school because it's not a high school. And then they were like, well, there's paperwork that said your high school. Like, well, somebody must have checked the wrong box on the paperwork.
Grown-ass men.
Because we're not a school. We never said we were a high school. They gave us the wrong, somebody put the wrong thing on the paperwork. What we're supposed to be is a postgraduate football academy. It's like, what in the fuck is that?
Wait a minute, wait a minute. What is that?
That's intramurals. That's community league.
Like, you can't be a postgraduate school and play high schools, though. Like that explanation makes no sense. Like, if you say we're a postgraduate high school, a football academy, it's like, okay, that's great. But why the fuck are you playing high school children?
You right. Like, how do you...
Like high school football is for high schools. You can't say we're not high school. We're playing high school football. It doesn't go together.
Who's a 25-year-old dude rolling around with their jacket on talking about some, yeah, you know, I still play a bit. You know what I mean? Right. Like, what in the world?
So my second question, because this is insanity. Did they have a band and cheerleaders?
No.
They had a football team.
Yeah, no.
Nah, filled with firefighters.
Them cheerleaders would probably be 30.
Firefighters, son.
Okay. So that brings me to the HR question for you, JG. And I've presented this entire case. If you are the head of ESPN's sports booking department, because the way these premier primetime games are booked, is people pitch a team and go, trust me, our team is good. We're the hottest new team. You should have us on your network Friday night to play IMG. As the head of ESPN, do you fire the person who booked this game that you all spent millions to televise and you're now the laughingstock of the internet because you aired a bunch of firefighters, as Rob put it? Playing 16-year-olds.
Volunteer firefighters.
Ooh, I don't know.
Sycamore ran a good scam. They ran a good scam. They ran. In my paperwork, I got an address. As you can see, I have a roster.
Yeah.
Like, who would think to go triple, double check that?
I don't think I would fire them off the bat unless they've shown a pattern of not double checking and ensuring everything is there.
You're fired.
Based on what it really is, that shows a pattern of not double checking because you can check 5% and figure out this is some bullshit.
Tell them, son.
So if you didn't double check that, if you didn't do enough checking, which is nothing, to figure out this is bullshit, that means you just take whatever somebody calls you with.
I'm just saying.
You all said they had the right paperwork.
Said it's a high school.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everything.
But see, that's like if I just made a card that said, I have taken COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you don't look closer at the sticker.
That's disingenuous. And I know they were being the same, but.
Just a note written in crayon that says COVID negative. Like, all right, good. That's cool. Come on in.
In my mind, I feel like this, I feel like the sheet they turned in just had high school and crayon with the G's backwards and shit.
Like, for real. Like, they were literally playing in all black helmets, all black jerseys, and all black pants with silver numbers. There was no fucking pizzazz. They probably didn't even come on a bus. Mm-hmm. They probably just pulled up in some niggas. How did they done carpooled.
They all got off the transit bus, bro. Right, you know they got off of the transit bus at the same time. They all took the cross town and got off at that joint. It's like, ooh, this IMG place was big. Oh, this is gonna be great.
South Georgia girl with some more gold. Some more gold from Rhonda. In addition to lacking basic information about the school, Bishop Sycamore's website, which is now down, was said to look more like a football blog with advice on how to be recruited for a Division I program. Ding, ding. So that's why they were playing, so that they could be seen, so that they could get back into some D1 shit. Said the school's founder, quote, "We have to make sure that the website also includes the academics. There's things that you learn. There's growing pains that you have. We realize that's an issue. The reality of it, we've caused some of the questions by not doing the things that should have been done before. So that's understandable. I totally get that. We have to make it an actual school website." This is the founder of a school saying...
What's the web address? BishopSycamore.angelfire.net?
Now, goddammit, look. We got to make sure that website also includes the academic part of it, okay? Look, the thing that you learn, the growing pain that you had, look, we realize that's an issue. The reality of it, we have caused some of the questions by not doing the things that we should have been doing before. So that's understandable. I totally get that. I get that. We have to make it an actual school website. Give me a new pause.
Never lost. It is.
Drinking that tiger blood.
So is anybody getting sued? Is anybody getting sued?
Arrested is the question you should be asking. The governor of Ohio.
Yeah, they're being investigated.
to see if there's anything criminal. I don't know if there's a crime that's been committed, though.
If you're playing high school football with grown-ass men and saying you're not a high school, that's a fucking crime.
Yeah, that's kind of criminally.
Okay, who do you charge? Every player? Who do we charge?
You charge everybody in an administrative position, which is like two niggas.
It's Andre and the coach. That's it.
It's coach and a dude named Man.
Nah, man.
And like, nobody, man.
Nah, I'm not with y'all on this one, man. Everybody goes home. Return Bishop Sycamore, return the TV right money. And everybody goes home, and you just got to be more careful. This is just one of them you got to be more careful type scams.
More careful than what, though?
You got ESPN.
This is the dumbest scam of all time.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
They played three games, Rod.
The whole thing, everybody's got to go, man.
For scamming? Like,
two dudes running a fake school with 32, 26-year-olds playing high school football. Like, you can't be at high school.
Mm-hmm.
You can't enroll in high school in a state past, like, the age of 20.
Fam.
And so, there's people who get busted being 37, pretending to be 16. They
don't get into some statutory.
They go to jail.
You're getting into some statutory.
I'm not talking about statutory rape and shit. It's just literally illegal for you to be pretending to be 15, but you're 32 and enrolled in high school.
If I apply to be in the high school game of the week and you ask for my verification, and I fax you over my fucking PDF file that says I am a postgraduate leisure football intramural institution, and you don't read that line of the motherfucking paperwork.
That's not what it said. It said it was a high school.
It said it was a school.
The paperwork said it was a high school, and the founder said, I don't know. Somebody checked the wrong thing on the paperwork. We're not a high school.
Mistakes happen all the time. You cannot arrest me for a mistake. I'm sorry. I got to do it. We got to have two this
episode. People go to jail for mistakes all the damn time.
There's a reason to not fire the ESPN person, but go ahead.
That wasn't my weed, coach. You still get fired.
Scamming,
that's the last time I checked.
For scamming ESPN and getting a group of 27-year-old, the longest yard looking ass motherfuckers on television to showcase.
Those niggas straight up look like Bruce Hill.
They had Maurice Claret on the backfield, B. I was like, this is crazy.
For scamming ESPN and getting young black men off the streets and getting them good looks in front of a national television audience, Bishop Sycamore School founder Andre Peterson, you are also
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Wow.
Nicely done, Andre. Nicely done.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm gonna send y'all this picture, man. This straight up. Tell me this dude don't look like Brucey from The Longest Yard for real.
That's the show. Roy's Job Fair is a product of Comedy Central, iHeartRadio, and South Park and Princeton Productions. Rod, thank you for coming on. Thank you to our indigenous brother up there in Montana. Thank you for his service. Big thank you as well to Kenny, who worked at a job for 20 minutes before resigning. Rod, as always, we thank you. You know, I don't know if I've ever disagreed with you as much as I have tonight, but I think we'll get through this. Hang on, let me see this picture.
You're gonna get investigated next now. Hey,
see this picture. Oh my God, look at this picture, Rod.
Tell me that ain't Brucey.
This motherfucker, 34 years old.
Wow. Oh, you're right. Oh, I'm so mad. What do I do, coach? Oh,
I like their logo. Bishop Sycamore.
He got a mortgage. Yeah, they got to go to jail. Somebody got to go to jail.
Oh. Could we get them on the show? Someone on the show to tell us what their side of the story is?
Their lawyers probably won't let them talk to the media at all.
I mean, I'll try and find one of the players.
I don't want to talk to no 27-year-old who thought it was a good idea to play football against a 17-year-old. He is at the end of his wits and will say yes to anything for the sake of exposure.
Jack, I want to
know.
I get it.
I want to know.
Jack would want to holler at one of them.
No.
That's all it is.
No. I am curious. I am so curious.
I love
how this
football man.
That Bama.
I love your logo.
Can come on the show. He can come on the show to talk about some. I'm also a firefighter, and I like those.
Goodbye.
I am curious. Bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.